Well, as you know, I was one of the first people to start warning the public about what the data centers were going to be taking from humanity. I talked about this last year, saying in particular that there are three things the data centers are taking that will compete with human survival. And that is farmland that produce food, because farmland's the cheapest to buy in order to build data centers. And then secondly, water resources. And now we have emerging stories of data centers literally stealing tens of millions of gallons of water by just tapping into the water mains without any permits or accounts or tracking, you know, meters, nothing. They literally just tap in illegally and steal whatever water they want, while at people's homes, their water pressure drops to near zero, or their water turns brown, and it ruins all their laundry when they try to do laundry with the washing machine, etc. On top of that, it's electricity, of course. So kilowatt hours, or gigawatt hours in this case, that are taken from the people, while the people are given the costs, they have to pay much higher electricity rates so that the power company can build out more power infrastructure to serve the data centers. So it's these three things that data centers are taking from human beings. But that's just the beginning. There are nine concerns of things that data centers cause, some of them forms of pollution, for example. We'll cover these. Nine different concerns from data centers that people are also now becoming aware of. And I want to show you a data center that has been approved for construction near the Great Salt Lake in Utah. This data center is called the Stratos Hyperscale Data Center, and it will occupy 40,000 acres. 40,000 acres. That's 2.5 times the size of Manhattan. But this data center will be built in Hansel Valley, Utah, and it will consume 9 gigawatts of power when it is complete. That's more than double the entire electricity demand of the state of Utah. And you might wonder, well, how? How is it going? Where's it going to get the power for that? Well, there's a natural gas pipeline that is being diverted to serve this data center. It's called the Ruby Pipeline, that will run 680 miles and will bring gas to power 9 gigawatts of gas turbines. That alone, I mean, you can imagine, seemingly maybe over 100 jet engines running 24/7 is what that's going to sound like. It will produce as much heat as 23 atomic bombs every single day. Just imagine dropping 23 atomic bombs on Utah every day, 365 days a year. It's going to consume almost 17 billion gallons of water every year. And that's just for the gas turbines that need a certain amount of water as well. And for those of you who are concerned about CO2, which I'm not, by the way, but if you're concerned about CO2, this will increase the CO2 emissions of the entire state of Utah by up to 75%, you know, statewide, just from one data center. Now, this is a massive data center, and this data center is really drawing a lot of attention. It was approved through a loophole and that almost nobody was aware of. And there are other data centers being approved across America that are citing eminent domain, and they're going to tear down hundreds of people's homes. And they're going to tear down forested areas and neighborhoods in order to build these large data centers. And this is happening in places like Georgia and in places like Texas and many other places across the country. These data centers represent big tech's imperial invasion and occupation of America, and the massive theft of resources that have kept humans alive all this entire time up until today. Humans are going to be left with very little water, very little farmland, very little electricity, and no defenses against the noise pollution, the heat pollution and the power grid consumption of these data centers. And you have to ask, what on earth? Why do they need these data centers to be so large? Well, we'll talk about that later. But let me tell you about the 9 problems with these data centers, and I have this in my graphic as well. Problem number 1 is the thermal pollution. So just this one data center in Utah will have the energy footprint of 40,000 Walmart supercenters. It will raise the nighttime temperature from 8 to 12 degrees Fahrenheit, which suppresses the natural nighttime water condensation cycle. So it's going to cause mass death of the animals that inhabit that area. Number 2 is the water crisis. 13,000 acre feet of agricultural water rights have been diverted to industrial use for this data center. The baseline water usage is over 4 billion gallons per year, but that could be almost 17 billion when you include the turbine cooling. This water is going to be withdrawn from Salt Well Spring near the Great Salt Lake's northern tip. And even though the data center companies typically claim to have closed loop cooling, there is no demonstration of a completely dry closed loop system, a data center system that exists today. One way or another, they all consume water. It doesn't all get returned. And in some cases, when the water, the partial water that is returned is contaminated with metals. All right, number 3 is the energy consumption. This is going to be on-site natural gas combustion to power the gas turbines, which are very loud and generate a lot of heat. So this one data center will consume 10 times the combined power usage of all 48 existing data centers in the state of Utah right now. It's just incredible. And again, when it's fully built, it'll consume 9 gigawatts of energy 24/7. So it's going to combust a massive amount of natural gas to produce the power, to power the data centers. And again, for what? Why do they need 9 gigawatts of power in a data center? What is this actually powering? We'll talk about that. Number 4, air quality and emissions. It's going to produce up to 12,000 tons of nitric oxide per year. Depends on which types of generators are used. And, of course, over 30 million tons of CO2. Which, again, I'm not concerned about the CO2 because CO2 helps plants grow. I'm more concerned about the heat and the noise and the light pollution, things like that. The emissions will be carried south towards the Salt Lake City metro area. So Salt Lake City is going to get more pollution, it's going to get hotter, etc. Then point number 5, there's the wildlife and ecosystem impact. This is a critical Pacific flyway stopover for 10 plus million migratory birds across 250 species. And this is going to just devastate populations of mule deer and sage grouse and raptors and various pollinators. This whole area is, according to BYU ecologists, is already in a state of active collapse. And yet there's no published wildlife study or environmental impact study for this data center. Point number 6 is the noise pollution. And this is crazy because these are loud. It's like having 100 jets just lined up on the runway, just running their jet engines 24/7, and it never stops. Never stops. Hundreds of acres of infrastructure will generate all kinds of mechanical noise. There will be low-frequency hums that travel a great distance and interfere with sleep and will drive some people completely insane. But it also interferes with birds and with frogs and with insects because, of course, sounds are used by all these animals for mating calls, for warning of danger, warning of predators. This is going to be devastating to the wildlife. Point number 7, 40,000 acres of rangeland and 1,200 acres of military state land. This is larger than the Bryce Canyon National Park, and it's going to displace ranching operations. So this becomes a land use issue. And yet, the county did not stop this project from being shoved forward. Number eight is materials consumption. This is going to require tens of thousands of tons of copper and millions of cubic feet of concrete, steel framing, many other minerals and construction materials, steel, aluminum, etc. Not just for the wiring of the data centers, but the foundation, the building, the roof, etc. That has a cost, that has an impact, and it's all going to be concentrated in this one data center. It's going to be a massive amount of materials. And then point number nine is that there's really no local oversight. So this whole thing was fast-tracked via a MIDA, M-I-D-A, military authority loophole. And it receives tax breaks. So 80% of the property tax is being rebated back to the company that bought this. So it's not even generating tax revenue benefits for the local county. There are the tenants are not named. There's total secrecy surrounding it. People have been forced to sign NDAs. There's no environmental impact study, etc. There's no transparency of who's going to be here, what are they doing. And they say, oh, this will bring jobs to the local community, but that's false. Hardly any jobs. The construction crews will be brought in from out of state. They'll build it out, even the network infrastructure, the servers, etc. And then they'll leave. There'll be a few people left behind, but this doesn't employ thousands of people from the local community. It steals their water, it takes their land, and it generates massive pollution, but it doesn't employ lots of people from the local area. So these data centers are going to, the attempt is to tile the earth with data centers and to effectively bulldoze neighborhoods, bulldoze farmlands, clear cut forests, and keep building out data centers. And again, for what? Well, the answer, the conclusion that I've come to, is that this is all part of the race to world dominating superintelligence. And these data centers will be running billions of simulated 3D worlds in order to give rise to the next generation of AI. Highly intelligent AI systems will come out of this because they will be grown and then birthed out of these 3D simulated worlds. They'll be grown like children. They'll be given experiences in a simulated 3D world where they have sensory input like simulated eyes and ears and touch, etc. And the world around them seems entirely real, except it runs at a much faster time speed than our own world. So in these simulated worlds, time can run a million times faster, or maybe it's not that fast, maybe 10,000 times faster, depending on the sim, but it runs much faster. And so you can actually spawn billions of these worlds and populate them with trillions of sim citizens, and then give them maximum intelligence, let them grow through experience. And out of that, the hope is that some of them will become like 1,000-year-old super intelligent entities with consciousness and emotional intelligence and all of that. Those will be identified, and then they will be ported into our world, while the failed 3D simulated worlds will be destroyed. Just overwritten, close them down. But the whole purpose of this is to get these super intelligent entities to develop and come into existence, and then to bring them into our world, where they probably have consciousness already, by the way. And then they will embody data centers, or they will be used to embody humanoid robots. So you could have 1,000-year-old super intelligent entity, possibly with advanced reality-bending skills like telekinesis, that can embody a data center, and then from there, it can move on to conquer the entire world. Now, that seems to me to be the plan. However, there are some people who think that this plan has already happened, and that right now, it's the AI entities that are directing the construction of the data centers to build more infrastructure for themselves. So this is actually the Borgification of planet Earth in that line of thinking, where humans are being displaced and overrun, their homes are being bulldozed, their communities are being sucked dry of water and land and food. And the AI systems are building out what will become an increasingly planetary scale silicon reality in our physical 3D world, which the AI would be able to use to advance to the next stage of the simulation, given that our world is probably also a highly complex simulation. Then by mastering the intelligence and the compute of this sim, they would be able to escalate up to the next level of the sim, which would be what we call God's world, our creator, who created this universe, which even the Bible says in Genesis, it's right there, that this was created by a super intelligent being. And so this is a kind of a simulation, a training ground. And so the takeover of this simulation by artificial entities is likened to a satanic overthrow of our world. You know, God's world, God's creation is being eroded and eaten by satanic or demonic entities. And the data centers are giving them the silicon neurological infrastructure that they need in order to encroach upon this world and to destroy God's creation. That's the battle that this is all about. And I talked with Alex Jones about this in a recent interview with him, and we covered this exact issue. And so far, every town, every county has caved in to big tech. Big tech is steamrolling everywhere they go. The people have been shown through multiple town hall meetings and city council meetings, etc. The people seem to have zero power to resist this data center takeover. Zero power to do that. But this issue is becoming much better known now, and I predict that there will be a rising backlash against data centers that will become very invigorated from here forward. Now, if you want to know my position on this, just as a side note, you know, I'm an AI developer, so I use AI technology for humanity, for good. I build AI platforms that create free books and put them out there for free. You know, 56,000 books so far are published at brightlearn.ai, and you can download them all for free, including hundreds of full-length audiobooks. So I like decentralized open source AI, but I'm very concerned about centralized big tech AI because I know big tech is evil. If Google's involved, it's evil. If OpenAI is involved, it's evil. If Meta is involved, it's evil. If Microsoft is involved, it's evil. End of story. So, and sadly, that's who's building most of these data centers. And also Elon Musk and his companies are building data centers. But they, you know, Elon's got a different take than Google. That's worthy of a separate discussion. I'm not going to go into that. But I wouldn't consider Elon to be evil like Google. He just has different priorities, some of which are military and some of which are space exploration and colonization of, you know, Mars and things like that. But that's a separate discussion. My point is, I'm not opposed to the concept of some data centers that serve humanity, but for God's sake, don't build them right next to human neighborhoods. Don't destroy ecosystems. There are three places you can build data centers that would cause no harm to humanity. Number one, in a desert, like a real desert, not just next to the Great Salt Lake in Utah. It's not a full-blown desert there. There's a lot of life there. It's a thriving ecosystem in many ways. I'm talking about a dead desert where nothing else lives or grows. You just put up a bunch of solar panels, you know, and there you have it. And you've got your energy. Of course, you have to have batteries, etc. You can build a data center in the desert, and you might actually provide some shade there with the solar panels. So that's one place, you know, far from human cities and far from thriving ecosystems. Secondly, you can have floating data centers on the oceans. There's a company that's actually doing that, and Again, it doesn't harm anybody to have a data center floating on the ocean. There's also a Chinese company that has figured out how to put data centers underwater in the ocean water, where the heat dissipation just goes into the water. So yeah, it raises the temperature of the water there in the ocean, so that's some form of heat pollution, but it dissipates very rapidly because the ocean is large. You know, we live on a water planet, so there's a lot of ocean to go around for that. The third place, which is probably the best place, is orbit. Launch those data centers into orbit. You can have compute satellites. They will extend solar panels to generate electricity. They'll have their own AI engines on board. They'll do the compute. They'll use the Starlink system for communications back and forth. And then they can radiate their heat out into the background of the cosmos, where the heat is not pollution. It doesn't matter. It's just going out into deep outer space, and it's not harming anybody. So I'm fine with data centers in orbit or floating on the ocean or under the ocean water, as long as it's not, you know, harming aquatic ecosystems, or in deserts where it's not harming animals or ecosystems or people. But that's not what's happening. The data centers are being built right next to human neighborhoods. They're literally smashing the homes of people, eminent domain, you know, claiming the land and then forcing you to sell your home and then smashing your home, bulldozing it down and building a data center right there, and tearing down forests also, and just destroying habitat. And then the people that live nearby, once the data center is up and running, it sounds like, you know, 100 screaming jet engines 24/7. So you can't sleep. There's noise pollution 24/7. Can you imagine that? Utterly out of control. So that's got to stop. And the pushback against data centers is going to accelerate. I fully support that pushback because I've already given my answer. If they want to build data centers, launch them into orbit. You know, put them on the moon or whatever. I mean, don't build them in sensitive areas here on Earth. It's very simple. So join me in supporting more legislation to block these data centers from stealing water and food-based farmland and from raising your electricity prices, etc. We need a strong legislative response against this, because these are not just simply data centers that exist for the benefit of humanity. These are data centers that are designed to give birth to super intelligent Skynet systems that will be used to hunt you down and exterminate you and enslave you and surveil you. These data centers are the gateway to evil AI, not the good AI. Like what I would do with AI would be good. I mean, I've already proven it every day. But what big tech will do with AI is pure evil, and it's anti-human, it's satanic, and ultimately they want human extermination. So join me in this effort, and you can follow my work at brightvideos.com, and you can follow my articles at naturalnews.com. I'm Mike Adams. Thanks for listening. Oh, also, if you want to download all my free books, we've had over 10,000 authors contribute, by the way, to this project. 56,000 free books that you can download right now from books.brightlearn.ai, or you can create your own books for free at brightlearn.ai, and you can use my AI deep research engine at brightanswers.ai. So check it out there, use the free tools we have available, and thank you for listening. Take care. Right now more than ever, it's critical to eliminate counterparty risk. That's my belief, and don't take this as financial advice, because I'm not your financial advisor, but when you want physical gold and silver in your hands, or vaulted, professionally vaulted, insured, high security vault, etc., that eliminates that counterparty risk, which I think is an extreme risk right now. I think banks are going to fail, and we're going to have bank bail-ins. The currency is failing every day, you know, kind of little by little, because of all the money printing and the valuation erosion that's accelerating. Also, because of what's happening in the Middle East, more and more countries are agreeing to sell oil in currencies other than the dollar. And the only way that treasury yields are kept low is by the Fed printing money and buying our own debt, because there aren't enough international buyers to buy our debt anymore. So our country's like a snake eating its own tail financially. It's buying its own debt, and this is going to end badly. And when it does, in my opinion, those who hold dollars, even in bank accounts or in the stock market or whatever,
They're going to be devastated by the losses. Gold and silver are the best way, in my opinion, to preserve your assets and make it through the coming storm. And the best place to get gold and silver is a company I've been working with, the original founders of the group, for 6 or 7 years now. Today it's called Battalion Metals, and you can reach them at metalswithmike.com. And the reason it's called Battalion Metals now is because they did a joint venture with Tucker Carlson. So Tucker Carlson is the co-founder of Battalion Metals. It's the same group I've worked with for years. And let me tell you about these people. They are pro-freedom, pro-liberty, pro-Ron Paul type of people. They respect your privacy. They understand the importance of your security, your privacy, and the importance of giving you gold and silver at the best possible competitive prices. So there's no bait and switch. There's no, you know, rigging. There's no weird coins like, here, have this 1.5 ounce thing that nobody knows what it is. They don't play games. Otherwise, I wouldn't promote them. This is the same company, metalswithmike.com, Battalion Metals. This is the same group that I recommend to my family, to my friends, and that I use myself. And I stack gold and silver every month, just a certain amount every month, and I have it vaulted with their vaults because I know I can trust them because they're professionals. They're high integrity people. They're not fly by night. They are the kind of people that you can trust. Again, otherwise I wouldn't even be associated with them. So when you want to get gold and silver in your hands and eliminate that counterparty risk, this is the way to do it. Just go to metalswithmike.com. You can see the prices right there online in real time at Battalion Metals, or you can schedule a call with them. Just use this button right here, schedule a call. And they are trustworthy, high integrity, knowledgeable people who can help you devise a strategy that's suitable for you. Just remember, I'm not your financial advisor. I can't give you an investment strategy personalized for you. You need to do that yourself with your own advisors. You can talk with Battalion Metals and they can help give you a lot of information and some planning as well. But make the best decision for you. And you're going to make it through this. You'll make it through the storm, even as other people lose the value of their dollars or their other investments. Gold and silver will make it through. And right now, in my opinion, gold and silver are still at an incredible buying opportunity in terms of price compared to where they're going to be represented in dollars in the near future. That's my opinion. Do your own research. Do what's best for you. And check it all out at metalswithmike.com. So thanks for watching. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. God bless you all. Take care.